Whose Kaka'ako is it anyway? That's the central question some concerned residents are asking about the plan to revitalize their neighborhood. The latest proposal includes several high-rises that proponents say are necessary to create the trendy and sustainable live-work-play lifestyle. And you may remember we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Well, today we're going to take a look at what it means for the residents who are there, who know that even if it means that fewer cars are on the road, density is not necessarily on their agenda. They'd like to keep the skyline just the way it is. Thank you very much. Tonight, Representative Scott Sykes will help host a meeting at the state capitol. He joins us by phone now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bethan.
Yesterday, we did talk about how there has been a facelift happening in Kaka'ako. All very nice. Nothing that you can look at and say, well, gee, that's terrible, unless maybe you don't like those colors or you don't like graffiti painting. But talking about high-rises and changing a skyline and the whole issue of what density means for an area, that's where some of the residents that you've been talking to are having some issue, are they not?
Right. I think that the general concern at this point is that Kaka'ako may become overbuilt, and that it may end up looking like Hong Kong. And that's something that I think residents want to avoid, both residents as well as those who work in the area. And it should be a concern for, all residents in the urban core of Honolulu as well as the rest of the island.
So how does that sync with the movement that we've seen across the country and other places around the world to move people back to the urban core? I mean, once upon a time, the idea was to get into a suburb, and now here we are on the other side of the pendulum trying to move back to the urban core and create a live, work, play model so that you don't have to use a car all the time.
Right. I suspect that that the public is, in support of development in Kaka'ako, so that, because proximity and those kinds of issues are important for people. The concern, though, is that whether or not there's a potential for it to be overbuilt. Height and density issues are a big concern right now. For example, the HCDA is proposing that perhaps three 700-foot towers could be built in the area. And this is, they were proposing a 650-foot tower, so today it's now with three 700-foot towers. And those would be built, under exemptions from the current HCDA development rule. So I think that while the public does generally support balanced development, Kaka'ako should not be overbuilt.
So like that Pohukaina project that you just mentioned, well, at least one of the towers would be too high, but what would be then acceptable if you know you've got to build it a little bit more densely? What's the happy medium?
Well, the current height limitation is 400 feet, which is approximately 40 floors. I know that the counter argument is that a higher building would create more open space, the numbers would pencil out better for developers. But I think once you start to raise buildings to that level, it creates bad precedent for the entire community. I think the question really is, and I'm not sure what the answer is, but how many buildings are sufficient? How many high-rises are adequate for this area? I'm not sure if the HCD has answered that question.
They say that there could be maybe six or seven high-rises in the plan, but that's a big maybe. All of this is sort of on the drawing board, and we don't know whether this is going to happen or not, which is in part why you're having this meeting tonight. If they do go through, do you see any compromise happening there? Maybe not, five or seven of them, but maybe two, three, even if they have to be a little higher than, 450 feet?
Well, I think collectively, when you look at all of the preliminary plans, there could be the potential for over 20 high-rises being built in this area. Not all at 700 feet, but I would think most of them are going to be at the 400-foot level. So, and those are preliminary proposals, which haven't yet gone before the HCDA. I'm not sure exactly where those towers are going to be, so I don't want to kind of get into a balancing of numbers or that kind of game at this point, because we don't even know, and this is one of the issues, is that I don't think all of the concrete plans have been presented to the public yet for the public to review and comment on.
When the ATDA director was here yesterday, Anthony Ching was talking about it in those single digit numbers, you know, the 5 or the 6 or the 7 that are on or in the plan or could be in the plan. And the idea of preserving green space, having mixed use, mixed income, being able to be close to restaurants and fun, and really that this is an area that might well be for the young and the fun, is very much part of how this is being revitalized. Is that how a lot of the residents also see part of what this plan does, bring back young people and a sense of vitality to the area?
Right. I'm sure that, I'm sure that residents, and I would agree that the area needs to be modernized, and it needs to be, updated and revitalized. But the question is, how do you mitigate the impact, not just for residents and those who work here now, but for those outside of the area who, in Makiki and in Nu'uanu, in the surrounding areas, how do you mitigate the impact? So, for example, the city has not yet done a traffic study for the potential development in this area. And I know that the premise is that, well, people will walk and ride their bikes, but people are still going to have cars, and how is the traffic going to be impacted with all this development? So there are some agencies that are normally included in the land use process that are excluded from this HCDA process, and I think it's important to bring these kinds of agencies back into the fold and to have their comments.
Specifically, who has been excluded?
Well, the county land use requirements are exempted. So the traffic study, for example, there would be comments, but it's not a part of the formal process. Even the Department of Education recently sent a letter indicating that there may not be sufficient classroom capacity for the development in this area.
Well, I know you're going to have a meeting later on this evening, and we'll check back with you to hear what residents have to say about it. And obviously, it's only a plan at this point, nothing that's been done with dried ink. So we'll see how Kaka'ako develops.
Yeah, and I just wanted to emphasize that we want to be very positive in how we deal with HCDA. We want to help improve their decision-making process so that they make the best decisions for this area.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Bethan.
State House Majority Leader Scott Sike represents District 26. He and other lawmakers are inviting members of the Kaka'ako community to a meeting later on this evening at 5 at the Capitol. And when he's not in session, he practices law at Gallagher, DeRobertis, and Ono. The current plan for Kaka'ako, at least the one that's on the drawing board, is on our website, hbr2.org.